Well, coming up later this hour, you could win tickets to experience big-time boxing. Clarissa Shields versus Vanessa Janice. Is that how you say it, Lloyd?
You know what? I'm not sure, but
okay.
That's what I would say.
You're the boxing guy, so I asked you. That's Saturday, July 27th at Little Caesars Arena. So big boxing match, and you'll be able to win that a little later on this hour. Of course, the big story of the day is still this attempted assassination of the president, and just a centimeter here or there, and we could be talking about this American tragedy, and we're not, thank goodness. Nolan Finley, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, joins us now. And Nolan, thank goodness this isn't worse, but like, where do we go from here? Nolan?
I think it's...
There you are.
Do you have me here?
Yep.
We have you now. So it's kind of like, okay. Is this an inflection point? How do we move forward?
Well, I mean, clearly this is the most significant moment in the presidential campaign. We've had two, one, the presidential debate last month, and now this assassination attempt this month, and both of them will just dramatically change the course of the presidential campaign, and I think have tremendous impact on the campaign. I think you are coming into the Republican convention starting today, and I think this will absolutely energize the Trump base. I mean, Caitlin Buss got a column in the news this morning talking about how, you know, the organizers of the convention and the Donald Trump campaign had very carefully crafted this convention and the platform to ensure party unity, and I think this event now assures party energy.
Nolan, when you talk about this situation, what ethical considerations should a journalist keep in mind when they report on these political figures and these controversial topics to avoid exacerbating the tensions?
Well, I mean, it's a tense time, and it certainly is a divided time, and I don't know from a journalist point of view. I think you cover the news, and you cover it fairly and objectively, and
mm-hmm.
you know that's the most you can ask for us. It's not our job to tone down these two candidates. They have been throughout the campaign fairly awful, and it'll be interesting looking out here to see how the tone changes, how the rhetoric changes. I mean, it's a difficult position for Democrats because their whole campaign has been about demonizing Donald Trump and scaring voters about Donald Trump, threat to democracy, you know, worst president in history and all of that. How they managed to prosecute a campaign against Donald Trump and not fall into this rhetoric, it puts them in a very, very hard place. And, you know, I don't think they will. I don't think that will change. It may for a week or two, but I think they'll be right back out, with that, the language they've been using. I don't know how they do anything else.
Does it take, does it also take some attention off of the president and his, you know, age issue and the things we've been talking about the last week or so?
No, I think it absolutely magnifies it. I mean, you think, what's the Democrats' big vulnerability? That they have an old, weak president. And then you saw that photograph of Donald Trump with his fist in the air, blood on his face, screaming, fight, fight. I mean, just the epitome of strength. I think the contrast is going to be something that Democrats... it's going to work against them. So,
you know,
I think this exasperates it.
Nolan, in your pages, you talk about turning down the heat, and that this is a lot of this is about incivility, and you're not wrong. Are we capable of turning down the heat, or are the two sides so invested?
Is the toothpaste out of the tube?
Yeah, are they so invested in demonizing the other and framing them as an existential threat to the country that they can back away from that now?
I don't know that they can, and I think there are, you know, we talk about division and we talk about incivility. A lot of institutions, a lot of forces out there who profit from keeping us frightened of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a long way back. I mean, that's at the heart of the work Steve Henderson and I do in the Great Lakes Civility Project is, you know, sort of getting people to the point where they can talk civilly across the political divide without hating one another. Well, you've got a lot of forces out there, from social media to political campaigns, who are heavily invested in incivility and division.
And, well, there's media too, Lloyd. I mean, we've watched this on the cables.
They have
their contributors who are there for no other reason than to generate heat.
And if the candidates, even if they dial down the rhetoric, their surrogates could still be out there spewing the stuff.
Yeah, I think we're just it's become too much a part of our political process to think it's going to change in a moment. I think it has to change over time, because we can't go on like this. We no longer just disagree, and we're no longer just passionate in our positions. I mean, there is a strong element of hate in what's going on today, and you see the outcome of it.
Do you believe, like I do, that the RNC will set the tone? If they are civil and if things have been toned down in these speeches and they preach unity, could that be a good step forward?
Well, I think it's a smart strategic play, and I think you've heard both the president, the former president, and Melania Trump over the weekend. Their statements were very much along that line. If the RNC goes in there to the convention this week, and if Donald Trump goes into the convention this week and presents a more civil tone, a less frightening tone, and I think that was one of the goals of the convention even before this shooting, Trump can pick up some of those voters who are abandoning Joe Biden. And if you watch, look at the polls, I mean, a lot of voters have abandoned Joe Biden, but they haven't necessarily come to Donald Trump. This is his opportunity to assure people he's not a frothing madman, that he is presidential. And if he's capable of doing that for a week, or at this convention, and his surrogates joined him in presenting a more civil tone, I think he picks up a lot of support off of this. I think the smartest thing they could do is go down there this week, go out there to Milwaukee, and never mention Joe Biden.
Yeah, Nolan, I got to ask you, and this isn't conspiratorial, but with what this attempt on President Trump's life, does this take the pressure off of Joe Biden about his competency? Does that change that conversation momentarily, or does it end it altogether?
I think it intensifies the questions about Biden's competency, and I think that's running on a separate track. They've committed to the strategy of getting the president out there, letting people see him and hear him, and that doesn't work. I mean, they've got no choice, but that doesn't work to their advantage, because, you know, there are many times he can't pull off what they're trying to do, that he doesn't look competent, and he doesn't look vigorous and in charge. He looks old and weak, and as I said earlier, you compare that presence to the image of Trump standing on that stage with his fist in the air, the picture of strength. I don't think it works well for the Democrats. I think it just puts more pressure on them.
Yeah, I think that discussion is still being had behind closed doors, just not out in the media right now because of what happened with the president. Nolan Finley, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, thank you as always for talking with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
The discussion continues with Matthew Snyder, our legal eagle, and what he has to say about what happened over the weekend.